Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Security for Hire by Renee Jagger and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Patricia Santomasso. Chapter 1. Val Stoneholt dragged the back of her hand across her mouth. The tawny skin came away streaked with red, and she tasted metal. She spat blood.
Are you guys sure you want to piss me off?
The bartender gloomily retrieved a helmet with horns from under the bar, planted it on his head, and went back to polishing glasses. Three dwarves grinned at Val from the wreckage of wooden bar stools.
You're outnumbered, Iraville,
the sturdiest one pointed out. Val's leather arm guards creaked as her forearms flexed, hands curling into fists.
I'm amazed you can do the math, Durgan.
Durgan's shaggy salt-and-pepper brows drew together over the malevolent gleam of his eyes.
Get her,
he growled. His henchmen, Brock was the one whose beard was done in two braids, Rurik had a greasy mohawk, launched at Val. She caught a whiff of their boozy breath as Brock swung a wild haymaker in her general direction. Her arm guard collided with his meaty elbow as she swatted the blow away and planted her knee in his belly, doubling him over. Rurik was marginally quicker on the uptake and went for Val's knees in a flying tackle. She delivered a kick to his sternum that sent him flying backward, scattering the intact bar stools in all directions.
Stay down, boys, Val suggested.
Durgan plucked a hefty club off its strap at his hip. Rurik scooped himself off the floor, and Brock raised his fists, wheezing. Val sighed.
All I wanted was to have a pint in peace.
It wasn't really true. The pint, yes. Outside, the Iron Hills sweltered in the heat of a West Avalonian summer, and it was a back-breaking morning in the smithy after Sleipnir showed up for shoes, as he randomly did. Peace, though? Peace wasn't a thing for Iravel Stonehold. She could choose between loneliness and brawling. After nailing 8 shoes onto the massive hooves of a magic stallion who did whatever he wanted, Val would gladly have opted for loneliness today. Durgan, Brock, and Rurik didn't give her that option. They'd strutted into the forge, the only tavern in town, a few minutes ago, looking for trouble. Val was the obvious target. She'd been cool about it until they tipped her beer into her lap. Even then, she was pretty sure Durgan's finger wasn't broken.
Then you shouldn't have slammed your tankard down on my hand, bitch,
Durgan spat.
Dude, it's only bruised. Can you relax before one of us gets hurt?
Val shook a lock of her silver-blue hair out of her face. Durgan snarled and charged, his cronies by his side. Val swiped Rurik's feet out from under him with a swift kick to the ankles. When Brock tripped over him and sprawled at her feet, she brought her hob-nailed boot down on his hand with a satisfying crunch that made him squeal like a pig. The club swished towards Val's ribs with bone-breaking force, but she threw out an arm, and the blow thudded harmlessly on her leather vambrace. Her eyes met Durgan's, and he shrank back.
Be the bigger person, Iraville.
Her father's words rippled through her mind, and her anger flared. That was the whole problem. She was the bigger person. Durgan pulled the club back and launched it toward her ribs. It wasn't like he could reach higher. Val ignored the blow and slammed both hands into his shoulders, throwing him back hard enough that the club flew out of his hand. Durgan crashed to the floor on his back and skidded, sending tables flying. He slammed into the wall with a force that cracked the wooden planks.
What's the matter, boys?
Val demanded as her opponents struggled to their feet.
Can't take out a single dwarf on our own?
Durgan's incoherent rage spewed from his mouth in a bull-like bellow. He charged, head down and fists clenched, and this time, Val wasn't quick enough. She sidestepped, but Durgan's outstretched arms caught her around the thighs, taking her feet out from under her. Val crashed to the floor, the impact knocking air from her lungs. Her head hit the stained, smelly wood, but her arms were free. Her hands found Durgan's throat and wrapped around it, rewarding her with a strangled yelp. His stubby fingers raked her face, but found a lock of her hair, then clenched shut.
No!
Val croaked. Durgan yanked. She felt the tug, but no pain. Then silicone slid over her scalp. The dwarf twisted free of her grasp and rolled to his feet. Val scrambled to her knees, breathless, and stared up at him as he held her beautiful wig aloft like a trophy. His nose was wrinkled with disgust. On her knees, Val was almost his height.
Beast, he growled. You're no dwarf.
Redness crept into the corners of her vision and drenched her muscles with fierce heat. Val felt the change seep into her cells.
Now you've pissed me off,
she snarled, her voice unnaturally guttural. Brock and Rurik backed away, but Durgan tossed her wig aside and raised a fist to swing a right hook. He didn't get the chance. Val was on her feet in a split second, her fingers wrapped around the grubby leather of his jerkin. She raised his squirming body over her head with a roar that stung her throat. Brock and Rurik turned tail and bolted, but Val wouldn't let them off that easy. With a simple flex of her shoulders, she threw Durgan across the room, arms flailing. He collided with his crony so hard that they all crashed through the door and sprawled in the yard outside in a messy heap of limbs. Breathing hard, Val fought the urge to go after them and stomp them into a pulp. She flexed her fingers and stood still until the rage subsided. Then she stomped back to the bar, righted a stool with a flick of her boot's heavy toe, and flopped onto it. Her legs sprawled everywhere, and she tucked them uncomfortably under her stool. Her knees jammed against the bar. She had to slouch to rest her elbows on the stained wood. Val picked up the tankard Durgan had tipped onto its side and slammed it on the bar.
Another!
The bartender removed his horned helmet and folded his brawny arms.
I think you've had enough, Iravel. Bullshit! I'd taken two gulps when those assholes came in,
Val snapped. She fished her card out of the pocket of her jerkin and smacked it on the bar.
I'll pay for the one Durgan spilled. Get me another.
The bartender stared at her, not moving. Eilif Forgespark was considered tall for a dwarf. His head reached Val's ribs. Sitting, he was taller than her, and his thick white mustache drooped with disapproval.
Look what you've done to this place,
he growled. His gesture encompassed most of the tavern, which wasn't hard. The forge was a smoky little space no bigger than the Stonehold's cottage. The bar separated a cluttered selection of grimy tables and wobbly chairs from the hefty barrels of home-brewed beer that lined the back wall. Its windows were grubby, and the thatched roof retained the stench of pipe smoke and stale beer. The three dwarves lay groaning in the cobbled yard, and bar stools and tables were littered across the earthen floor.
Fine. I'll pick up the chairs and tables, Val muttered angrily. Pour me another drink. You can't keep doing this, Iravel.
Eilif shook his head, the iron beads in his mustache swaying.
Every time you step into this tavern, you cause some kind of shit.
You saw what happened, Val protested. I didn't start it.
You started by being here.
Eilif retrieved her tankard and put it in the concrete sink behind the bar.
Go home.
Val went to run a hand through her hair. Her fingers slid across her smooth scalp, and a flush warmed her cheeks. She stumbled to her feet, retrieved her wig from where it lay on a table, and pulled it on. A glance at the dirty window told her that her poor wig would never be the same. She straightened the silver-blue hair over her shoulders as well as she could and turned to Eilif.
You know this isn't right. It's the way it is. Go home,
Eilif repeated. Val's fists curled, but her rage was now a tepid puddle of shame in her chest.
Fine.
She stomped out of the tavern, ducking to fit through the doorway, and stepped over the groaning pile in the yard. Shaggy ponies studied her with trepidation from the stalls that surrounded the space as she strode across it.
Don't worry, she muttered. I know I'm too big for you.
Val set off down the dirt road on foot, dodging ruts carved by magically powered minecarts. She lumbered between stone walls that only reached her hip, and towered over thatched longhouses with wisps of wood smoke rising from their chimneys. It was hard to pretend not to see the way that kids playing in the clean-swept front yards stared at her as she went past.
Yeah, I'm huge. I've been huge all my life. Deal with it,
Val grumbled inwardly. She halted at the crossroads at the top of the hill and helplessly stared at the village that sprawled around her. The Iron Hills spread in every direction, strewn with gravel and boulders, faded grass straggling over the gentle slopes. Shaggy goats and herds of ponies grazed outside the stone walls that enclosed small villages on each hilltop. To the east, the hills ended in a mountainside that climbed steeply skyward and ended in an imposing cliff banded in different colors of rock. A heavy boom shook the ground. None of the animals reacted, nor did the kids, who were muttering about giants behind their enviably hairy little hands. Only Val turned to the west to gaze at the huge, low building that sprawled over the unnaturally flat ground at the center of the Iron Hills. Black smoke rose from its fat chimneys, and extractor fans spun on its tin roof, catching the sun. Even Central Mine was too low for Val to walk upright under its rafters. Val turned away, and her eye caught a movement. She stopped and squinted at the winding road that led to the Iron Hills from the main pass through the spine. Outsiders? It wasn't often they came here. It wasn't a top tourist attraction for wealthy Avalonians, unlike Fernwood Deep on the other side of the mountains. However, the two paras walking up the road toward her clearly weren't from around here. For one thing, they weren't dwarves. They were even taller than Val, which gave her a swift kick of excitement. For another, they hadn't been on that road 10 minutes ago. They must have either flown or portaled in. It hardly mattered how they had gotten here or what they wanted.
This is an opportunity to talk to somebody who doesn't know what I am.
Val smoothed her ruined wig as best she could.
Good afternoon,
she called, and instantly felt stupid. Who even said that? Hi would have worked better, but it was too late. The taller, more muscular of the two raised a hand.
Hi. Yeah, like that, Val chided herself.
It took a few moments before the paras reached her, during which Val took the opportunity to appreciate every inch of the taller one. He looked like he belonged in one of the trashy orc movies her father loved, the ones where the guy never wore a shirt. His white toga left little to the imagination, revealing pecs and shoulders that bulged under sand-gold skin, and his jaw and temples were sharply chiseled. Val's practiced eye could tell that his honey-blonde hair was a wig, but the peerless blue of his eyes was real.
Excuse me, madam.
The bony, bald para by his side squared his skinny shoulders. His voice was a nasal whine.
Are you Miss Stonehold?
A wisp of smoke escaped his mouth as he spoke, revealing his species. Dragons, Val realized.
I am.
Val folded her arms.
Who are you? My name is Levius, and this is Axel.
The skinny dragon gestured at his statuesque companion, who gave Val the goofiest grin she'd ever seen.
We are emissaries from the Eternity Throne.
He raised his chin as he said it, eyes gleaming with pride.
Oh, I get it. You found the wrong Miss Stonehold.
Val pointed across the hills.
You're looking for Viscountess Milda Stonehold, my aunt. She's an Ironforge bastion behind Central Mine.
Axel shook his head.
Nope, she said Iriville. Definitely Iriville.
She? Val wondered. Her shoulders sagged and she ran a hand over her face, her excitement waning. As usual, this was about a dwarf who was more dwarven than she was.
Look. I'm telling you this is a mistake. The Eternity Throne doesn't send me letters. I'm nobody.
Val shrugged.
They'll sort it out at the bastion.
She turned to go.
Please, miss, Axel begged. Hear us out.
We have been ordered to deliver this to you.
Levius brandished a scroll tied with a silver ribbon and sealed with the crest of the Eternity Throne.
We take our duties very seriously,
Axel added, puffing out his chest as if that were necessary. Val stifled a groan.
Look, you'd better talk to my father. I don't know anything about this, but maybe he does.
Very well,
Levius gestured.
Lead the way, Miss Stonehold.
Val shoved her hands into the pockets of her jerkin and strode up the mountain path, hoping the dragons could keep up. The distant blast and rumble of iron ore being drawn from the ground beneath her feet was unceasing, but she turned it out as she followed the bumpy track that wound its way between the boulders. The dragons trailed behind, wisely silent. Val wasn't in the mood for talking, and her lower lip had begun to throb. A few minutes later, the sound of home drifted down the mountainside, the clang of a hammer on an anvil.
"Nearly there," Val growled.
"Look," Axel squealed. "A butterfly!"
"Axel, focus," Leviu snapped.
They rounded a large boulder streaked with iron ore and ruby quartz, and Val felt the tension bleed from her shoulders. Her home was carved into the mountain, part cave, part stone house. Grass grew on the roof, supporting three dairy goats and an overweight pig with tiny white wings. The facade was dwarf-made, the rock roughly hewn by magic instead of tools. On the right, the little used front door slumbered beneath a curtain of morning glories that almost obscured the entrance. No one had trimmed them for years.
"Cute pig," Axel commented. "Thanks. She's useless," Val grumbled.
The smithy's wooden door, broad enough to admit a heavy carriage or an armored vehicle, was wide open on the building's left. A forge fire roared within, sending a plume of white smoke toward the sky. Two anvils stood side by side in the smithy. Froda Stonehold worked at the one on the right. His back was turned to Val, his tawny skin bare except for the straps of the leather apron that was tied in the small of his back. Huge knotted muscles rippled in his back and shoulders as he swung the hammer over the anvil. His rough linen shorts were undyed and ended in boots like hers, but several sizes smaller and not custom-made and ordered from Avalon Town.
"Dad!" Val shouted.
Froda didn't react. He kept swinging the hammer, each motion making his thick gray hair, held in a leather tie on the top of his head, bob back and forth. The dragons waited in patient silence.
"The old man gets deafer every day." "Dad!" Val bellowed.
The clanging stopped. Froda lowered the hammer and turned around, a smile deepening the creases in his wrinkled face.
"There she is," he boomed. "I thought you said you were going to put your feet up."
Val took the hammer and tongs from him.
"What are you making?" "Same as usual. Pickaxe head. You think they wouldn't need them anymore with all that newfangled Thoma tech they're using in Central Mine these days, but Brunhilde called to double their order."
Froda frowned at the glowing, half-shaped lump of iron on the anvil. Val gripped it with the tongs and dealt it two hefty blows, straightening the pick.
"Oh, yeah."
She doused the pickaxe head in the nearby pail of cold water.
"These dudes want to talk to you."
Froda turned to the dragons. His eyes, normally almost hidden between his generous brow and wrinkled cheeks, widened enough that Val could see their pale gold hue.
"Good afternoon,"
he boomed.
"May Arax find nothing but motherlodes. What brings you here, sirs?"
Val groaned at the old-fashioned greeting. Levius beamed.
"We are on royal business, sir. We bring a message from Her Majesty to Miss Stonehold."
"Her Maj?"
Froda turned starry-eyed.
"You work for the Queen?" "Dad, please," Val groaned. "This isn't the time for fangirling." "Hush, Val."
Froda leaned forward.
"Tell me, have you seen her face to face?"
"Yes, we have, sir."
Levius drew himself up to his full height.
"In fact, we see the Queen daily. She counts us among her closer friends."
"Oh!"
Froda clasped his fist under his chin.
"What's she like in person?"
"Loud," Axel supplied.
Levius glared at his companion.
"As magnificent as you would expect."
He held out the scroll. Froda ignored it.
"Is it true that flowers bloom wherever she walks?"
"Dad,"
Val groaned.
"Depends on how pissed off she is that day," Axel muttered.
Levius planted his hand on Axel's face to silence him.
"Indeed they do."
He waved the scroll. Froda blinked, snapping out of it.
"Ah, I see what's happening. You must be looking for the Viscountess Stonehold, my sister."
He pointed.
"She lives in the Bastion, we know."
Levius testily grumbled.
"We are not looking for Midla Stonehold. We're here for Iravel.
Froda's eyes became twin saucers of wonder as he took the scroll.
The Eternity Throne has a message for Val?
Val scoffed, as if.
Her Majesty, Eternity Queen Julia Artura Pendragon,
Levius added. Froda almost swooned.
Okay, that's it.
Val grabbed Froda's arm.
Dad, can I talk to you?
She dragged her unresisting father deeper into the smithy and pulled the wooden door shut in the dragon's faces. The windowless room was filled with red light from the roaring forge fires, which filled the space with heat. Wooden workbenches lined the rock walls, which were striped in hues of brown, red, and beige, streaked here and there with rich quartz that held uncut gemstones. One wall was taken up by dozens of tools, hammers and tongs of every size, bellows, buffers, clippers, rasps, files, wands imbued with all kinds of magic, rune cutters, and blowtorches. Racks and mannequins on the opposite wall displayed Froda's handiwork, from boxes of horseshoe nails to a full suit of elf-sized armor in the corner.
Sit down, Val ordered.
Froda's ample ass descended toward a bench.
Not there.
Val grabbed a tray out from under him, almost spilling an array of half-made pendants and bracelets on the floor.
Oops. Sorry, little spark. Nearly squashed your trinkets.
Froda took the tray and set it aside, then sat.
They're not... Never mind.
Val rubbed her face.
Listen, Daddy, I'm sorry if I'm cranky today. But you know as well as I do that that scroll isn't for me.
Froda turned it over in his grimy hands, smearing the pristine surface with soot.
Why not? Why not?
Val shook her head.
Because I'm me.
Froda's soft gold eyes found hers.
I'm only a commoner. Worse than a commoner. I'm a mistake.
Val managed.
Gigantism doesn't make you inferior, Iravel.
Froda rested a hand on her arm. She hated how small it looked against her toned forearm and pulled away.
You know that's not true, Dad. So please quit the fangirling and give that scroll back to the dragons. Or throw it into the fire for all I care. The fire?
Froda shook his head.
Iravel, this is a message from Queen Julia, the peacemaker, the hero of the Eternal Siege, summoner of whirlwinds, the one who defeated Nimue. Slew Mordred, and brought a peace the paranormal world had never seen before. I know who she is, Dad. She's the kind of person who doesn't know that paras like me exist.
Val held out a hand.
Please, give me the scroll. At least let me open it and see.
Froda jammed a dirty fingernail into the wax seal.
Dad, no! It's sealed for a reason,
Val squawked. It was too late. The wax popped off, and Froda yanked the ribbon loose.
Dad,
Val moaned. Froda unrolled the scroll and squinted at it.
My glasses,
he muttered, looking around.
What did I do with...
Val retrieved them from a nearby workbench and handed them over.
Thank you, little spark.
Froda slid the glasses on and peered through their half-moon lenses. His eyes went huge.
See?
Val snapped.
You've desecrated the royal mail! I haven't.
Froda lowered the scroll and stared at her.
Iravel, this isn't for your Aunt Milda.
Cold spread through Val's veins.
What?
Froda beamed.
It's for you.
Val's mouth opened. It shut. It opened again. It shut again. No words came out.
Maybe you should ask those two dragons about it,
Froda suggested. Val stumbled to the door and pulled it open. Levius and Axel waited outside. Axel's smile was as sunny as ever.
Ah, there you are.
Levius smiled indulgently.
Figured out it really was for you, did you?
This is the best part,
Axel giggled. Val stumbled into silence.
I apologize for keeping you waiting, sirs.
Froda appeared at her elbow. Axel waved a hand.
Don't worry about it.
This always happens. You're not the first paras Her Majesty has confused, Livius added.
Her Majesty? Val gulped. This is really from the Queen?
Livius gestured at the scroll.
See for yourself.
Dry-mouthed, Val unrolled it and read, Iravel Stonehold, you are hereby summoned to the throne room at the Eternity Palace. A friend tells me that I should meet you. Yours sincerely, Julie Pendragon. The signature was too fancy and elaborate to be anything but royal. Val lowered the scroll slowly.
A summons?
Froda clutched his chest.
To the palace?
Indeed, Livius beamed.
Val's heart thudded unpleasantly against her ribs.
But why? We have no idea,
Axel informed her cheerfully.
We have learned not to ask too many questions in the course of carrying out Her Majesty's wishes, Livius added. We trust her utterly. I suggest you do the same.
Yeah, just roll with it,
Axel advised. Val shook her head.
But I've never been out of the Iron Hills.
Don't worry, Iravel. There's a tram to Avalon Town from the Bastion. You'll get there easily,
Froda told her.
Tomorrow at noon, Livius added.
Tomorrow?
Val squawked. Froda made a high-pitched sound of delight.
She will be there. I will?
Val squeaked.
We look forward to seeing much more of you, Miss Stonehold.
Livius bowed extravagantly.
Goodbye.
He turned and sprang into the air, and when his feet left the ground, he turned into a lithe six-winged dragon. Axel followed and shifted into a bulky dragon with sandstone for skin. They flew away without another word.
I have a bad feeling about this,
Val muttered.
Iravel,
Froda turned to her laughing.
How can you have a bad feeling about meeting the Queen?
Because I don't know what she wants with me, Dad,
Val cried.
What if I'm in trouble?
Froda tilted his head to one side.
Why would my little spark be in trouble? As far as I know, you haven't committed any heinous crimes.
Don't joke, Dad.
Val stomped into the smithy and leaned against her workbench, which had been specially adapted to her height.
I mean, only Luna knows why she would summon me.
She swallowed.
I think I know what she meant by a friend tells me.
You do?
Asked Froda, following her inside.
Yes. You know the new commander of the Opma garrison at the Bastion?
Oh, yes. The Copper Dwarf. She seems very capable.
Froda smiled.
Commander Corrin, is it?
Yes. The other day she was patrolling with her unit when I went by to shoe that Pegasus for them.
Val swallowed.
I noticed her watching me.
Maybe Her Majesty needs a new farrier for her Pegasi,
Froda suggested.
Imagine that! My little girl, the royal farrier!
Let's all hope that's all it is,
Val murmured. Froda reached high over his head to lay a hand on her shoulder.
I know you're worried, Iravel. But try not to lose sight of the great honor that's being bestowed on you. It's not often that an iron dwarf is summoned to the royal court, much less one of common blood like us.
Val flinched.
Dad, you know common blood is considered offensive outside the Iron Hills, right?
Oh, you know what I mean, darling.
Froda wrapped his arms around her waist and hugged her tight.
You also know that I think there's nothing common about you.
Val stared out the door at the empty sky where the dragons had been.
If only there was, she mumbled.
Chapter 2. The tram took forever, but at least the seats were Val's size. She leaned against the back wall, amazed by how much legroom she had and that her ass cheeks weren't hanging off the sides. The seat, albeit cheaply upholstered and hard, had actually allowed her to take a nap or two since her 4 a.m. departure from the station at the Ironforge Bastion. When she woke up hours later, the tram was clacking through Fernwood Deep, following a track that lazily curved through gigantic dryads in the shape of ferns that blotted out the sunlight. Currently, rolling green hills spread on either side of the tram, bordered with stone walls. These were different from the
sample complete. Ready to continue?